Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise your wonderful name. We bless the holy name this morning again. We hallow thy name, Heavenly Father, for your love towards us. Again, Father, we are very grateful, Lord, for this place of fellowship that we have. You have been so good to us, so gracious to us, and have kept us, O Lord, all these years in the ministry, in this faith, in this little fellowship, Lord, in the ministry that you have called us into to be part of the warrior, Lord, to be burdened, carrying this cross together, Father, to get this word out to the people. And we thank you, Father, that you have granted us this special privilege, Lord, and we thank you for that grace. And Lord, this morning as we hallow thy name and to remember this day, as we come together, Father, break down the bread of life to us. We know there are much confusion all around the world, but Lord, you have your people, and there will be people, Father, they will meet the criteria of thy word that you have prophesied, Lord, that you have ordained, as you have spoken, Father, before the beginning of this creation of heavens and earth, that the thing, Lord, that you have spoken will not return unto you void. It will accomplish, O Lord, what you have set in mind to do, Father, to bring a people as a family for you. So we thank you, Lord, that we could be a part of the family of God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all things now. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name, Father, we ask, Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Glad to see you, Brother Salam. This morning I would like to take a thought. There has been some questions, some emails, all because of what was, you know, shared and discussed over the internet in some forum pages. And so this has been a question that came in quite some time already, and lately there have been one. So I felt that I should just like to touch upon it, about the household of God. You know, people have come a long way, have come a long way, and the church of God, we would say in general, it has come a long way all these years now, past the century of time, through the dark ages, and through the Reformation, coming up to this end time with this message. And we have seen a lot of things being taught. And I believe that practically the problem that human faces is because of our mind. And sometimes we don't realize how our mind works, and therefore we just take it for granted many of the things that we hear, listen to, and accept those things to be true. You know, Friday we discussed how that people put fear on others one way or another, not realizing that it was fear, that those things was a fear tactic, so to speak. Like the Catholic who will say certain thing and then put the Catholic people in the fear, and that's the one, they do not leave their system and come to the light of God's word. It's not a shame for us, and the Bible said, Paul said, you know, study thyself to show, study to the word of God to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then, and as long as we are in this life, we are still studying and we are still learning. Amen. The moment we stop learning, I can tell you one thing, it just shows that our spiritual life will go to rot. You see, a man who refuses to eat, stop eating, his body will soon begin to die. The same thing with the mind. When we grow old, that's why I said that we all need to be active, always, you know, thinking, learning, and do something with the mind that can make the mind active to learn. And the same thing with the spiritual mind, we need to continue learning, studying the word of God to understand more about the Lord. There's nothing that will bless us more than the study of God's within the reading of the Bible, than to understand those things that is written inside there. Amen. You see, so there have been question that came in regarding the household of God and the gospel that affect the household of God. And then from there on it goes right into the end time, right to this hour of time when the message came, and how that some people would look at the book of Revelation 10 and then come up with certain so-called revelation. Now I know that there are certain things that will be spoken that might cause a lot of people to wonder whether those things that we believe are even true. You know, I don't know about you. For myself, I do at times wonder a lot of things regarding the thing that we receive from the Lord, the thing that we have in this end time concerning the message of the hour. What are we such a people that could hold on to this message when we see millions of people out there in the world that cannot accept it? Then many times I was thinking, okay, now I'm so privileged. I mean, of all the millions of billions of people, hundreds of millions of people, not just tens of millions, but hundreds of millions, about in the world 6 billion people. And I'm one of those who could see the light. And you're one of those who could see the light. Then you say, wow. Then others will look at us and say, oh, you consider yourself so special. You mean to say you make the rapture and we will make the rapture. You know, I have friends out there from the denomination telling me this way. He said, what's so special about you that you make the rapture and we won't make the rapture? You see. And then my mind goes back to the beginning of time. You can see certain people like Job, for example, like Noah or Abraham, you know, all the millions that came out of Egypt, and how many of them actually went in? Those who are 20 and above, only 2 went in. You know, and that because those people could believe and they could see the light, the promised word, the truth. And then we look back and say, oh, the time of Jesus Christ, yeah, there are people there, they're all these Jews. I mean, God got the gospel through the Jews. And they have been, you know, all these years having the law and the prophets. And they said they claim to believe in the Messiah that was to come. And when he came, how many of them recognized the Messiah? Oh, the millions and millions right there in Israel. But those that came from different countries for the feast, for the festival, for the pastoral, for the keeping of the tabernacle. You know, or the blowing of the trumpet, whatever feast they had, they came down to Jerusalem. And they don't even recognize that this man was the Messiah. And so many millions of Jews did not even understand this man, did not even accept this man. So in our days, we look through here, through the college system, like in the dark ages, millions of them were deceived and went into all that doctrines and all that purgatory stuff and believing all those masses and penance and things that are being held in bondage. And how many actually saw the light? And God used the reformers, bring them out, and there were hundreds, maybe thousands begin to come out and then follow the truth. And here we are in this last day. 25% or 1/3 of the whole world, we will say 25, or in fact it's supposed to be about 30% of the whole world is under Christianity. That means it's about 2 billion people, isn't it? Our population today is 6 billion, am I right? So 2 billion people are supposed to be Christian people, you know. And yet we know there's something wrong. And here we are, the people who could believe this truth because what God showed us. And I believe it's God's grace. And because of the heart the Lord looks down upon. Like God looks all over the earth for the man. And he saw Noah. And he saw Abraham. Man like Moses. And he saw Moses. He saw Daniel. You know, God looks now. God is always searching. The eyes of God are going around the world searching. And that's what I believe when we look at it. Like it or not, a lot of people find it very hard to accept. Because our mind tend to think this way and tend to think that way and try to justify by some means. How could it be that millions of people are going to hell and bound for hell? You know what I'm saying? But you know, there is but only one God. It's very hard to comprehend this. And that one God came to us through Israel. Huh? We're all pagan. The Bible always called us pigs. Gentiles, pagan, heathens, outcasts, wild olives, dogs. Isn't it right? I mean, after all, Jesus calls dogs. The Syrophoenician woman, she was dumb. We should be all worshipping some piece of idol, you know, some stones or some wood. And yet today, we are here, recognizing this revelation of the one true God, the gospel. So while we look into it, I want to bring to mind, because of the revelation of God's word is always progressive. It will keep on building up as the word of God began to unfold itself. You plant a seed, first come out the tassel. And as the root sinks up, then it comes out, the shoot keeps on going up, the more leaves comes out, then after that the branches will come forth. Then upon these branches will be more leaves. Then after that you will have a little bud comes out, and then the flower will open up, and then pollination will take place, and the fruit will come forth. Isn't it? So all these are part of what we see in the Bible. The seed word began to unfold itself more and more. Now we begin to see a better picture at the end of it. And seeds beget seeds. So the revelation of God is progressive. It does not remain still. It does not remain stagnant. And so when we begin to look at these things, the devil is on the other hand begin to work very hard too to try to get to deceive the minds of people. And that's why we have, in this end time now, we have very strange doctrine. The last 50 years, we have strange doctrine the last 30 years, we have doctrine like the two souls, for example. Polygamy, a man can have more than one wife. If your nation allows it, they say. And how did they get it? They get it from some place in the Bible here, misunderstood what the Bible said. Misquote the prophet of God. And begin to bring out all this doctrine. Oh, the prophet of God is coming back again to finish his ministry. He's going to ride the trail one more time. He's going to come back with the 10th ministry. Did anybody ever sit down and look at the Bible carefully? If they have the heart to really learn. And I believe God would give the answer. It's because sometimes we tend to grab things as was said. Per se, you know, just grab it. And not giving any reason. Why? Because the prophet of God say, believe exactly, say exactly what I say on the tape. And you know, if we take the Bible, for example, the Bible said those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ does not have eternal life. And shall have shall be cast in the lake of everlasting fire. Isn't it? So the Bible says everlasting death. Eternal death. Now if we take the word as it is say exactly what the Bible says, well then we believe that there is eternal death in eternal life, in eternal death. It means you'll never die in an eternal death. If we take the Bible the way it is, say exactly what the Bible says. Now anybody can quote the Bible but it will not say exactly what the Bible says, isn't it? We know that it's true. You see, that's the reason why the Trinity then say we say exactly what the Bible says, they are Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and therefore they are three. Well, we say exactly what the Bible says. They are Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but the Bible says there is one. So who is right? Say exactly what the Bible says. Say exactly what somebody else says. You may not say exactly the same as you say if you do it word for word. If you take word at its own face value without the revelation behind it, then you will never understand. That's the reason why Martin Luther had a problem when he read James' book, the book of James. He couldn't accept that book. How could it be? Because when he came into a revelation of justification, Martin Luther had just lived by faith. God told him that, and he was happy, and wow, he was free from all the bondage of having to do all this play about with the indulgences of Mars and all these things. And when he read the book of James, I couldn't believe it. When James talked about faith and work, he said, no, how could that be? You see, until it takes quite a while for him, I guess. I don't know when he sings into him. There are people who have been struggling with this message for years and years. There are those who could accept the prophet of God in the last church age, but when they come to certain doctrine that the serpent said, they cannot accept it. But don't think how many years before their eyes will open. As long as the heart is in the Lord and willing to learn, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's what Proverbs said. Huh? You know, you have to to reverence God. Amen. To be still and know that God is God. Don't get all upset with this thing that you hear or whatever that you hear, and you get all worked up. No, this is not true, that is not true, this is true and that is true. We must set our faith in the Word of God. If I were to ask you today, why do people believe in Trinity doctrine? Well, you know why do people believe it. Once upon a time, many of us say, well, Trinity in it. Isn't that right? You see. Now, if it wasn't for the grace of the Lord to open your eyes to understand this truth of the oneness of the Godhead, you will still believe in Trinity. You can go to the bookshop, you take a book on the Trinity, and this person will write all about Trinity, and some of the things that he said he will be quoting from somebody else, because the statement of somebody else is so well, so nicely written, you know. Like one man say, you know, God is infinite and now we are finite, so we will never understand the infinite God, you know what I mean. And another one will say Trinity is a mystery and we will never be able to understand it. You understand? And trying to explain all about the Godhead and try to tell you that we cannot understand it. Then they make the money out of selling books. So one book you take, another book you take, you find that somebody is quoting somebody else here and there. That's what it is. The same thing, why are people against William Branham? Bob Larson's book, you take it, he wrote against Bob Branham. Why did he get that source? He got it from another person. Somebody else's book who wrote about Brother Branham. So he copied it. And so when somebody else writes somebody's book, same thing. Out there in Malaysia, a man by Peter, name by name of Peter Tan, he wrote the same. Kenneth Hagin the same. And all these others, they will cut somebody else as if they were the source of authority about the life of William Branham. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so it passed out. When somebody reads to see it, they are comforted. They trust in these sources. So the same thing with men, our mind is the same. We tend to believe certain things and take it at face value. I want to stir up your heart. I want to stir up your spirit to be able to let it sink into the Bible, to really examine the Bible the way it should be. It's no shame if we find something we have been believing wasn't quite right. Because you know God is always bringing us to a place of perfection. I have learned so many years the things that I hell before in our denomination. When I came out of the denomination, I threw all those denomination book away. Volumes of theological book. Threw that away. And kept trying to put my mind in the Word. But you know one thing? There are still things, as it is said, you can take a sinner out of from the world, but you find it hard to take the world out of the sinner. It still remains along there for a long, long time. Isn't it? So, but even though we came out from the system, there are things in our faith, we will say that we still perhaps are holding on to it. Let me ask a question. Take for example now. If I were to ask you this question, you probably have heard it. How many years did Noah preach the gospel before the flood came? How many years? Come on, you probably have some idea, right? 120? Yes, John, you say 120. 120? Yes, even Brother Bell make the statement 120. Everyone from denomination all have been saying 120. But why do we say 120? Because the Bible says by spirit will not strive in many days of the 120. Okay, now let me ask you. No one preached 120. Who happened to build the ark? His children. Okay, that's something we all believe. Okay, Noah, now I'm just saying this as a fact to see how our mind works. Noah, his three sons, so four men, with the ark, right? And Noah preached 120 years. Why he preached, why they built the ark? Okay, well, maybe the wives, the four wives helped to carry woods. Okay, carry some, what is that, the stuff that they apply on it? What's the name of that stuff? I forgot. In the Bible, we use the word Gibson. Is that? Tars. Those. Yeah, we call it tars today. Now, maybe they help them. Okay, now. We know, of course, the children did not help Noah build the ark until they were born. Because Noah's lifespan from the day he was married to the day the flood came was only 100 years. He married 500 years, and the flood came around 600. Is that right? Okay, assuming that he came up preaching and began to build, for example. Now, are we so sure that because of what we hear, Noah and only his four sons built it up? Do you know that if you were to look into a chronology of the age of the people, there were two other persons, they were still alive. If we were to take 120 years before the flood, Lamech was still alive, Methuselah was still alive. Don't tell me that they didn't help to build it up. We won't think about it, will we? Well, because we hear somebody said it, and we just said it. Lamech was only 662 years. If he was 120 years before the flood, so he was still alive. Methuselah was still alive. So didn't Methuselah have been built up? Did Lamech have been built up? What about his children? Lamech's other children. What about Methuselah's other children? You know what I mean? Oh, you say, oh, they don't believe. Don't tell me Lamech don't believe. Methuselah don't believe. No. That's not true. You see, our mind works that way because we think and we hear what people say, we told it without examining it. You know, it is interesting to say that the Bible does have an answer somewhere there, but our mind don't work well. There was a book that I was reading. Some people believe those books to be, some of the books to be, well, though they are not canonized. You know me, they're canonized, no? Part of the Bible, but you know that the Catholic Bible, they have the Apocrypha book. It's a lot, they added to it, you see. And you know the book of Joshua mentioned the book of, and the book of Samuel mentioned the book of Jasher. Have you not read it, Rebecca, in the book of Jasher? The book of Jasher. Of course, there are two books of Jasher in publication today. And so there have been a lot of things discussed about this book of Joshua that they are not authentic. Somebody wrote it, all these things. But anyway, like it or not, book of Joshua throws some light. And it is said that when God commanded Noah to build the ark, it was only 5 years before the flood came. And they built the ark in 5 years. So it's not 100 years and 20 years, now they're 80 years. But he built the ark with his son in 5 years. Why was it so? Because after Lamech died, Methuselah was around. Methuselah was the one who was a sign that when he's gone, it will come. So, according to Book of Joshua, Methuselah and Noah were the only two preachers. But you know, if you go back a little higher up before that, Enoch. The Bible says Enoch was with God. In the Book of Jude, the Bible says that Enoch prophesied that God will send thousands of years of the same, right? Now, wouldn't he be preaching there? When God said, men's day are numbered 120, would he not begin to preach and realize this thing? But he died, and he didn't die. I mean, he was corrupt. But then we came down right now, only the two men, after the night died, two men left, Methuselah and Noah. And it was only then that God told Noah, so now you build the ark with your children. 5 years before the flood. And when Methuselah died, the day that Methuselah died, the flood came. The very year. You know, when we began to study the Bible and find out the fascination of the Word of God, the way it was written, it's not like somebody telling a story in full details. And that's what makes it interesting for us to venture into the Word of God, because it's like a compact disc. Zip up, you know, come back, and sometimes, you know, people zip up all the files, you don't want to know it's inside. You know, you unzip it, then you start to open up, then you see all these things. You know. So what I'm saying right now, this is just an illustration. How did my words, even the children of Israel, they are just, did not the Bible say that Elias must come first? You know what I mean? They were there, and then Jesus, yeah, Elijah come, he already, yeah, he must come from, but he's already here, and so forth. And yet they still could not comprehend. They are only looking to the prophecy of all, through the coming of Jesus Christ as the King, to bring back the kingdom to them. But not as one who comes first to save them, as a Savior. to the book of Romans chapter 11, chapter 10 now. Let us go over to that. I bring this up to let you know, as you approach the subject of the household of God. I may not be able to finish it off today. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now that's where the trouble really is. I'm talking about the household of God now. And you probably say, what this household is talking about? It's regarding the one household of God, whereby God had broken down the water partition and bring together the Gentiles and the Jews together as one household of God. Because they have been teaching that as if there are two gospels, one going to the Jew and one going to the Gentile. Do you understand? Alright. Paul is saying this. My heart desire cry to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, here that's what it is. Paul is writing this to the Romans, the believers in Rome. Most of them are Gentiles. There are always one or two, few people that are Jews that are in the faith at that particular time. You know, there's a lot of people around a lot of zeal. Any zeal is good, you know. I don't want to stop people from being zealous of the work of God, trying to do God's work. But sometimes, you know, people start running around without any understanding, without any revelation. And they just run around without the full knowledge of what God intended to do. You understand? And that's why knowing God and His message, recognizing God and His message for this hour, and recognizing the plan and purpose of God in this hour for your life or for my life and for the church of God. So we cannot just run around doing things like what the churches are doing things. They are still back in the days where they are still sowing seeds. When God is now is harvesting, no longer the sowing of seeds. Is that right? Remember the tares and they came? And Jesus said, no, leave them alone until the harvest time. And so we are in the harvest. The tares already been gathered in the year 1948 when the ecumenical movement started, and that angel of God has sent out all the angels through the ministration of all these preachers on the earth, getting all these churches together, all the tares together. Is that right? And then a few years later, in 53, 56, that's when the message went forth, and God then began to send out these angels together in the wheat. Do you understand this? So we need to know and recognize the purpose of God in our life in the time that we live in. But for Israel, well, it's sad to say, they're being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. No, they still continue with their laws. That's why they fail to see this gospel. Now, in the whole book of New Testament, practically we're always reading about the epistle of Paul, and particularly everything about this New Testament is about the Gentile church. Because after all, there are 40 epistles of Paul's in. What we read in the first four gospels, they are only the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then we read the book of Acts, how the church started among those Jews, and then how the Paul came in, and how that when Paul began to preach the gospel, the Jews do not like it, do not like the faith that he carries, and so God said after Paul, I'll send it to the Gentile. So from then on we see so much about the Gentile church. You understand this? Okay, so now let's see now, because why did Israel was ignorant? Because they established their own righteousness. I mean, that is the thing that we need to understand, to realize that we came to this message. The message itself cannot save us. You understand this? Brother cannot save us. Moses cannot save us. Our Paul cannot save us. Because they're not our Savior. The only little Messiah, so to speak. You understand? But what saved us is the Word of God. The Word of God that was crucified, bled for us, as a propitiation, laid down His life for us. Only Christ saved. Only the Word of God that is made manifest today for us to realize, to see that we are being sinners, cannot save ourselves. Only He who is the Redeemer, and Christ is the one that could save us. So we walk by the word of life. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Now that's hard for the Jew to accept it, of course. After all, remember this, they being Jews, they have the law for so many thousands of years. Huh? You understand that, isn't it? Huh? For 2,000 years they have the law before the gospel came. So they have been holding on to that law, and so they didn't realize that when Christ came, he ended that. Fulfill the law. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, speak on this wise, saying, not in thy heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to say, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. And what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Of course, that is therefore not a work. You cannot establish righteousness by your work. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. That is, they will not be disappointed. Alright? For the scripture says, whosoever believes shall not be ashamed, shall not be put to shame. That means Christ will not disgrace you. Because after all, if you confess Christ, do you think that he will going to let you and throw you somewhere else and cast you out again? Huh? No. You will not be disappointed. Mm-hmm. But for those who keep the law and not live in it, and we know that nobody can keep those law and be perfected. Because the law declares a person a sinner. It's our schoolmaster, as Paul says. Do you understand that? Until the one who is the one who gives the law, he himself fulfilled the law for you and me. As you know, when we put our whole trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing. Nothing else. No creed, no law, no nothing. But just Christ himself. Next one, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, here is this one verse here that tells us that there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek, between the Jews and the Gentiles. And I disagree with people, even today, denominations, some denominations, churches in America, they are trying to distinguish the Jews and the Gentiles. And there are those who are British Israelite, especially those Anglo-Saxon. There are churches in Europe, England, America today that believe that they are the lost 10 tribe of Israel. You know that, don't you? Yes. You see, and that they are the real Jews. And those out there in Israel, they call them Jews or Israelites, they are actually the outcasts. They are the one that crucified Christ, you see. That's why there is all this cult that goes around propagating all the hatreds against the Jews, anti-Semites. But Paul said, Paul being a Jew said, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, be you a Jew or a Chinese or a Greek or a barbarian. Huh? Isn't it? That's all. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. You call upon it with all the seriousness and the sincerity of your heart. Repent. Don't take the word of the Bible just by this verse alone. Jesus, send me! And then you think that you're going to go to hell. You know, say what the Bible say. And if you say what the Bible say just by this one verse alone, at its face value, just call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, I'm calling. Is that right? That's not what it is. That's the reason why it's important to understand. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news of good things, and they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who have believed our reports? So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God, and that's the foolishness of preaching. Huh? So I say, have they not heard? Yes, Valerie. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I said, did not Israel know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I thought of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. The obstinacy, the stubbornness of Israel. You see, God is doing two things here. Even though he stretched out to a disobedient people, yet God says, I will provoke them to jealousy by going to a people who is not even my people. Why did God work the way he worked? Ours is not the question why, isn't it? Sometimes we say we quote those poetic words. Ours is to believe and do and die, whatever. When we go into history, we look, of all the people that propagated the whole earth after the flood, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, they were all three sons of Noah. There were no Jews, no Gentiles. There were just Noahites, whatever you want to call that. Huh? There were just Noahic people, right? The three sons, they all scattered all over the world. Married, intermarried, and color changes from Shemitic looks like the Israelites, you know, a little bit reddish, a little bit light colored, you know, brown hair, reddish hair a little bit of kind of brownish, greenish eyes, something like that. And then when the people begin to propagate and mix what we have today, we have dark skin, white skin, yellow skin. But yeah, God looked down and chose one man. Well, he has to do something. How is adjusting about it? How was God going to get across to you and me, to everybody in the world, about his love? He has to begin somewhere. And that's why he took Abraham. Now, by that time, you know, people have already migrated towards China, migrated towards down south to Africa, migrated towards Europe, migrated down towards India, or the people are moving. Isn't that so? Oh, animal has already migrated far and wide to Australia already. The land divide, all the continent, the boundary, the border has already been set in the area of the lands. 3,000, isn't it? So by the time Abraham came upon the scene, everything was all you see today on this earth. The map, the atlas that you see is exactly what it was in those days of Abraham. But God has to choose one man from there. Well, he was not a Jew. He was not an Israelite, because they haven't existed yet. He was a Hebrew. Hebrew, just a word, Hebrew. The people from the over that other side. They came over, got to him, come over now, across the river and come down to Canaan. But at that time already, a lot of people were worshipping idols. Abraham's family, they were idol worshippers. The Shemite people. Don't talk about the Japhetic. The Japhetic that went over to Europe. Oh, you think they don't worship? They worship all kinds of gods too. Look at the Vikings, what they worship. Huh? Look at the Ostrogoths, the Gothic people, what they worship. What are all these dragons? You know what this dragon is? You know, all these things, the Harry Potter and all that dragon stuff and whatever you young people reading about it. All those things are like, well, what do you have? The Lord of the Rings, those demons and all. You know, why do they believe in these things? Those are people believe in those things. Even in Europe, you had the vampires and Dracula stuff. You must say it's the 20th century. But those days, all this were medieval time. Time people believe in certain things. But they have all that, their gods. The Greeks had their gods. Jupiter, Zeus, what else? Thor. Many, many gods. I don't know, there's so many names. Apollo. They already have their own gods. And in China, of course, they are. In India, well, even more. Where do all these things come from? The vanities of man and the fear of the unknown. People doesn't know who God is, so they, when a certain thing happened, they You begin to interpret it on your own account. Even today, a lot of people are so superstitious in everything. I have a sister-in-law who's so superstitious, really very superstitious. You wonder why? An educated woman, educated. You would think a simple-minded man, simpleton, would believe in everything, but no, educated people. And yet the scientists today, many of them say, we don't believe in God. You're so educated until God doesn't even exist. So that was, God has to start from somewhere, and He took Abraham, bring the people right down. And from there the God, you know, God began to deal with these people. When He began to deal with these people, that's why we later on have the gospel. Now let us continue with it. Verse chapter 11 now. Hear what Paul said. I said that had God cast away His people, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God have not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Were you not what the scripture say of Elijah? How he maketh intercession of God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophet, and digged down thy altar, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. And what said the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed down the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of Jesus. So now you see, Elijah is an example of his only one that will not bow to the prophet of his only one left of God, you know, servant. And God told him, say, hey, don't presume too much, you know. I've got 7,000. I have 7,000. And we don't think that we are the only one here, you know. There are plenty over different parts of the world. There will always be. And we always wonder, sometimes we feel so sad because we feel so, well, we take pity, or we show sympathy to those who could not see this message. We wish they could. Why can't the denomination see? Why can't the Pentecostal see that? You know, you can talk to them, you can share with your friend who are believers of the Pentecostal system or whatever. You try to talk to them and they will always argue with you on this and that, and they cannot see it, and you feel so sad for them. But you know, as Brother Bam said this, there will always be people that have to fulfill the other part of the gospel or the scriptures. Scripture meant to be fulfilled. We fulfill our parts where we are written. There will be Bible written about certain other kind of people, Gentiles and Gentiles. There will be people that have to fulfill that part. Isn't that so? It's like God playing a drama. Sometimes, you know, I've seen many times, you know, on the bed I was thinking, it's like God is playing a drama. God is conducting a play. It seemed that way. I was chosen to play my part. You were chosen to play a part. Somebody else chosen to play his part. And here was Moses was chosen to play his part, and two other guys played the part of Gentiles and Gentiles. Ha! Shakespeare spoke the truth sometimes. It seems all the world's a stage, and all we men and women are merely player. We have our exit and our entrances, and one man is life part. By stand play many parts. So it seems. But all these were foreknown of God, and this thing would happen. And God allowed it to happen. And because God saw this thing, He had to act upon it to bring about a people that would look to Him. Not as children Israel, and the people, you know, yet they are stubborn people. And God promoted them to judge them by turning to a people that are not His people. God has to do it. Otherwise, sometimes, if not, you know what? If God did not turn towards us, we can bring out a case against Him, against God. But God is a God who does not treat people unfairly, so to speak. He's a righteous God. How can He choose somebody and give him the salvation, a whole lot of people just throw them into hell? That is not why that doctrine does not stand. in the light of the gospel, in the light of the scripture. God did not choose someone and put him in heaven, and did not choose someone and cast into hell. God does not do that. You see. But he's foreknowledged. He knows. Who would? And for those who would, he predestined them unto sonship. Not to hell, not to life eternal, but he says unto sonship, that you may conform to that standard. For men are fallen from grace of God. The Bible says all have sinned and comes from the glory of God. The glory of God is the word of God. The standard of God, so we fail. So when we come to some sonship, conform or predestined unto sonship to be like Jesus, he is the one that fulfilled that requirement, that had and has the requirement. So we are to conform to the image of his Son. You know, that's why if he doesn't turn towards us, we can bring up a case against God. So why? You only save those and you don't want to save us. He never going to give us a chance. True, isn't it? And God is not a man that he should lie. And he knows our thinking. He knows all them before the foundation of the world. And he only wants one family. Being a father, he wants a family. Remember the household of God. Now let us continue with this here. Whatever you look at, even in verse 5, say, even so that at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. After, in the days of Paul, when God turned towards the Gentiles, you know, he blinded the Jews, huh? The whole nation of Israel were blinded. But they will see, of course, always the part. But in general, the whole nation were blinded. And God began to turn towards the Gentiles. But Paul said there is a remnant of people that will be saved. And in one place he said, all Israel shall be saved. But then he said, all Israel are Israel. So not all Israel. When he said all Israel shall be saved, he's talking about those who are truly Israel. Not all Israel has, because you are a Jew. Because today there are a lot of Jews, a lot of men who are Jews who curse God and die. There are a lot of Jews who are renegade. Huh? So God is no respecter of person. You call yourself a Jew, and then you are like that. Like they used to say in Jesus Christ's time, they told Jesus, we are of Abraham our father. You know what I mean? Huh? We are of Abraham our father. We were not born of fornication. Jesus, so then if you know who Abraham was, then you know who I am too. You know. It's not because you see, Paul had on another part say, it's not the flesh, not the blood. Let me give you a child of God. You are entitled to call Yahweh your father. It's by a spiritual birth. You understand? It's not by flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Don't tell me that because you came from Abraham, you're entitled to it. Not at all. Unless you be born again of the water and of the Spirit of God, you can enter the kingdom of God. You've got to be born of the water of God's word and of the Spirit of the word of life, or else you cannot enter the kingdom of God. God give us, every one of us, a chance. That choice, so to speak. Huh? And I'm so glad for this gospel. When I was young, I was raised up by my father's first wife together, my mom in one home. She was, of course, a Buddhist, and there were idols, and Buddhists also, some kind of idols are here and there. And I was a young kid, know nothing, but I was very happy when the day when there's always some kind of festival, there's always food. That's what they call festival feast. Even the Feast of Jehovah is festival, it's called feast, it's always a food there. And they all have all this chicken and oranges and whatever. And then after you bow down a few times, a few jaw sticks to the idol, boy, you sit down and eat. I mean, that's all I know. But of course, when you grow up, you begin to question a little bit about those idols. Like Paul said, have eyes, cannot see, have nose, cannot smell, have ears, they cannot hear, and mouth cannot speak, and things like that. Got leg, cannot even walk. And all got hand, cannot even receive, or give, and eat it, you know. You see. So, you know, when I came to this gospel, I said, oh my. You begin to learn that God is a spirit. It's not something that's a piece of wood. Some kind of imaginations, you know, like Paul said, people instead of worshipping the creator, they worship the creatures. In India, You got in there, you know.
Fine, every corner, everywhere, you see all kinds of idols.
And they were dedicated to idols. This woman is laughing. He's been living there too long.
He said, oh, that, the image of, oh, what is that, the elephant god? What is the name of the elephant god?
Kanish,
yeah. Oh, they were dedicated, the picture of the elephant with lights and flowers and everything, huh? Some with peacock and all kinds, you know. I mean,
men are in darkness.
And I'm so glad, and I believe you are glad, that you are liberated from all this spirits of darkness in the world that influence the mind of people to worship all kinds of things. And have been all kinds of ideas.
Oh, some people say, well, I don't worship idol.
And I don't believe in God because I don't believe in God.
I have no religion.
You know, he's a religion to himself.
Huh?
Isn't it?
Atheists say that. Atheists believe that they don't believe in God, therefore they have no religion. They are religion to themselves.
When you have a belief, it's your faith.
I believe that's not God, that's my faith.
That's your religion.
You walk around every day, you worship yourself.
I myself, there's no God.
And that's what the Bible would say, a fool said there's no God.
Huh.
But God seek a people, and he by grace.
You see, verse 5, even so that at this present time also there is remnant according to the election of grace.
And if by grace, then there's no more works.
Otherwise, grace is no more grace.
And if there are works, then there's no more grace.
Otherwise, work is no more work.
So now Paul is just saying, simple enough.
Grace is grace. There's no work in grace.
But if you want to have work, then in work there's no grace.
Or else work, if you say work, how can that be grace when you're work?
Say on grace, then there's no work.
Grace has no work.
Work has no grace.
So you know what you have to choose? There's no in between.
And that's why Mother Luther had a problem. He says, oh my.
By grace are we saved through faith.
And it is not of yourself.
It is a gift of God.
Amen. Huh? And Paul saying,
Mother Luther was happy here when it came to James. James says, you show me your faith and I show you my faith in my works.
Ah! What work?
This work that James talked about is a manifestation of your life.
You understand?
Huh?
The seed that goes into the ground, you have its work to do. It will bear its fruit. It must come up.
That's work.
If I believe in the Lord, by grace, he has saved me. But then what is my life? If the seed must grow in me, manifesting the work of the grace of God in me.
I'm not going out doing good works, you know.
That's not what James is talking about.
The reality of the gospel of life in you. Life was sown for itself.
And when people see, they saw those works of the word of God in your life.
Amen?
Now, what then?
He said, I have not obtained that which he seeketh, but by election have obtained it.
And the rest were blinded.
According to this written, God had given them the spirit of slumber,
eyes that they should not see, and ears they should not hear unto this day.
And David said, let their table be make a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their way backwards. It means going backwards.
I said then, have they stumbled that they should fall?
God forbid.
But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentile. But to provoke them to jealousy.
Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of Gentile, how much more their fullness?
Now think about it. God caused them to fall.
So the Gentile can get the riches.
Huh?
Then now Paul asking the question. Verse 12.
If the fall of the riches of the world, that means the Gentile world, the rest of the people, and the diminishing of the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness?
Do you think, when you know when God brings the gospel back to the Jew,
I can tell you it will be the biggest, beautiful nation in the world
in that day, in the age of regeneration.
There will be no nation in the world that will have that riches and glory.
You're talking about today being America, huh?
Or maybe China.
Because if the world continues for the next 100 years, 21st century we are in now, for this 21st century, America is going to go down. The economy is going to go up in China. It must be true. We can see that it's always there, because no nation can really going for generation or century after century. Huh? It has to fall under, what goes up must come down. You understand that? So there is no nation in the Bible when the gospel goes back to Israel that can be as beautiful and as rich and the fullness that Israel will get. No country. Israel will all have all its glory, because Christ will come back and rule there. For I speak to you, Gentiles, as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, and magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and I might save some of them, and if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lamb is also holy, and the root be holy, so are the branches. Now think about this thing. Here Paul is saying that if the first fruit be holy, the whole lamb is all holy. If the root is holy, so the branches must be. Now, you know, Paul is an apostle that tried to understand, make the Jewish people understand the gospel. So when he go and visit the Jew, sometimes he go out with a custom. You know what I mean? Observe those customs. It's okay, those are the feasts. You know, today many Christians like to go, they have to say, oh, let me go and join a Jew in the Passover. See how they conduct the Passover and join them in the festival. You see? Because after all, you may say the whole thing has been fulfilled. That's okay. You know what I mean? So Paul used to go through and do those things. You know? And he said that if the Lord be holy, the first will be holy, then the whole lump must be holy. Now that's verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken out, and thou being a wild olive tree, it was grafted in among them, and with that particles of the root and fragments of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root but the root thee. Remember Paul said, remember this, the whole olive tree. If the root is holy, the whole branches are holy. Because after all, that is the whole nation of Israel. But if the branches were cut off, and you are, and I, we were all wild olive. We all wild olive branches are grafted in. So don't boast against those that were cut off. Don't. That's why, you know, some of the people, you know, in Christian churches, some denominations, they speak so badly about the Jew. I can never understand. I will never speak about the Jew. Even though how bad they really are. I know some Jews are really bad. The financial world was run by particularly Jews. Huh? And even a Hollywood movie was mainly produced by Jews. Only that perhaps you don't know that they are Jewish people, because they changed their name. It's no longer Ben something, Bendis. You know what I mean? Huh? It's no longer Isaac or Jacob, the name like this, or Abraham. They have changed their name to a very modern name. Isn't it? Steven Spielberg. You wouldn't recognize it. But anytime you see a name with the word Bird, it's always a Jew. Their name from the city where they were, when their family were under the Holocaust, when they were living in those cities. You read history and see why their name, their changes, they're very funny. You see the name of the city. Some guy even call themselves London. So he says, Julie London. You even know that he's actually a Jew. Do you understand? Look at all these big names. No wonder, you know, we have this Bin Laden. What is it? Osama Bin Laden. Do you know how much he's against this Jew? Huh? Not against America, because America practically was run by Jews. But that's the way the world goes. But you must understand that we cannot boast against the Jew. Whether they cut off or reject the gospel or not, it's because God has blinded them for us. So let us not boast. Let us understand it was God's grace to us. And there are people that are stubborn. Yes, we know the Bible said they were stubborn. Isaiah said so they were stubborn. But I don't know how many of us also in this end time, as Christian people, are also stubborn. Huh? Can we boast ourselves because we're in the end time message better than the other churches? We can say we are privileged, we do have to sing the light. Yes. We thank God for the grace that we see the truth. We should then, having this truth, we should believe ourselves higher than what those denominations have. The man that is simply doesn't look, it looks the same. The children, many aware, are still going around with their programs. We don't have, we want to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. And as Bob then would say, stay humble. Stay humble. Huh? Well, nothing to boast about. I've been on MRT, which I hardly go on the train nowadays, you know. But when I do, you see some of the people go carrying the Bible to church, or even some on Sunday after the service, you leave this hall, you see some, you meet them in the food center, food court, and you know, young ladies nodding with the hair cut short, with gold rings here and there, earrings here and there, wearing high heel, or men wearing, you know, they live the normal kind of normal Christian life. And you, in my heart, I feel that, oh, I wish that you know the truth. You know? And we must understand that God has always shown grace to those whom He will show grace. And the word of God must be fulfilled. So no wonder Paul says, don't boast yourself against them. He said, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root. Means you don't testify of the root, which is none other than the root of Jesse, which is Christ Himself, the foundation of our faith. But the root bear thee. Where did the gospel come from? It came to Israel to us. And who is Israel? Prince of God. Yeah, not all Israel behave like the father. Yeah. Israel have 12 sons. Of all the 12 sons, well, you know, what kind of, I mean, children, they always backstep here and there. But there are a couple of decent ones. But Judah, at least is decent. Then we have Joseph, whom God used, and gave him the two portions. Huh? You see. So let us remember. Let us not boast. Thou will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Yes. Say that, thank God. By His grace, those branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. We are grafted into the household of Israel. Do you know that? And that olive tree is Israel. Is it alright? Prince of God. The root that called Jesse. So we are grafted in. So Paul said, now you must say the branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. The branches were not broken off, we cannot be grafted in because there's no place to graft it. You're going to cut off a branch and then you take the branch and graft it together and tie it up. If you don't know about grafting, read about it. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And now stand by faith. You know how I abide it? But fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed yours, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Oh, that's a strong word, isn't it? See? Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell. Severity but towards thee, goodness. If thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is also able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut off, out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature and will graft contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall this, which be the natural branches, be grafted into them, their own olive tree? It's no difficulty, you know. One species that is wild, one species natural, to graft in is not easy. But you cut out that which is natural from the natural, you put it back, it's very easy. It will be grafted back. It will come to acceptance. That's why the Bible says, when the day of the Lord comes, and the Bible in the book of Old Testament, I think Zechariah says, when the Lord came, when the Lord comes back, and all those of the household of Israel see the wound in his side, they, oh, where do you get those wounds? They will cry and they weep. In those days, that day, I tell you, there'll be a lot of howling and crying and moaning and groaning. They were, I can tell you, they were pound of four and pitch that corn and dancing, what have we done? What have we done? But now they didn't see it. But the remnant shall be saved, they will see it. For I would then, and I will go up to a brother and say to the Jew, says, oh, thank God anyway, you know. Because what happened to you all, I was able to be grafted in. You see. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, that lest ye be wise in your own conceit. The blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. Now, here is one thing that I want you to keep note, because I cannot finish it today. There's many more, but here is this. Paul said, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile becomes in. The fullness of the Gentile. This is a mystery. Now in the Bible there are many mysteries. You know many mysteries in the Bible, huh? Mystery of iniquity. Mystery of God. Mystery of godliness. Huh? Mystery of the kingdom of God. Or kingdom of heaven. Now there are many different type of mystery in the Bible. But this particular mystery that Paul is talking about has become such a, well, a confusion, especially among people in the end time message. But in denomination, they particularly understand what this is. With this mystery Paul is talking about, until the fullness of the Gentile becomes in. We know that when the gospel came, the Jew have the gospel until they reject the gospel and God came to the Gentiles. So we have this mystery of the kingdom of God. Or the Bible calls it in another place, mystery of God. This is the period of the gospel of the Gentiles until the fullness of Gentiles becomes in. Until the last elect comes in, then the gospel will go back to the Jew. So, as Paul said, do not be ignorant of this. Once the fullness of Gentile is finished, the gospel will turn back to the Jew. This is a mystery of God that is in Revelation chapter 10. It's not a mystery of God as to the Godhead, as some said it. Because the mystery of God has already been expounded in the days of Paul. It's not been fulfilled. It was known in the days of Paul about the Godhead. The people in the days of Paul, they had no problem knowing one God. Huh? And it's not a mystery in plural term. No. It's just in singular, the mystery of God. And this is the mystery of God. Let us go further on. And so all Israel shall be saved, that is written. There shall come out of Zion, the deliverer. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. So just because someone don't believe, we get a blessing. You know, it just happened to me when I was in the examples of God. You know, I knew about William Branham's ministry, but I didn't know he had a message. And here I was in the church, one man, young man, on the way to the service where I was conducting a Bible study. He didn't turn out until the meeting was over. Then when he came in, I said, oh, we are just finished. You know, you came late and say, oh no, I was on the way, and then I heard in this community center somebody was preaching, somebody from New Zealand, you know, and they were preaching about denomination against denomination, you know. Then there's a prophet in this, and that's all waiting and curious to hear what they have to say. And then after that, they give out all these books. So in his hand, there were two books. One of them was the Seven Church Age books of Brother Branham. And he said, oh, this is the man I was talking about to you for the last few weeks. And then in my heart, you know, I was thinking, well, he was saying that the preacher was saying that, you know, denomination was wrong and all this. And you know, I was a man who waved the examples of God flag everywhere I go. And then I said, well, you know, you should read these books. And now he just, I don't know. He said, you want it? He asked me. So you go and get it, you don't want it? He said, no, you can have it. So okay, I took it and I believe it. He doesn't believe. He just imagined that, you know. Somehow God used to bring the book to me. Not that he turned in and go and listen and believe, but no. He go in, it was a sole purpose to bring the book to me. You know, somehow how God works things out. You know, I have received letters from many parts of Africa. They wrote me, it says, I found your books all dirty and crumbled up in the trash can or near the bus stop. And they pick it up and they read whatever portion they have and they wrote for us. I have many letters like this. Some people just read the book, they don't, they throw it away. But somebody else gets it, even though it's dirty and in a dump. Even the spoken word book, people throw away. Even those days we have spoken word books stamped with our address. They got it. People threw it away. You see. Well, that's why we should thank God for that. Okay, let's continue that. Verse 30, 31, 30. For it has in time past have not believed in God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbeliefs. Even so have these also now not believed, that through their mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways fast finding. For who hath known the mind of God, of the Lord, or who have seen his counselor, who have first given to him, it shall be recompensed unto him again, or of him and through him, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that we are the one olive. We have been grafted into the natural olive. So at least we get tamed a little bit, isn't it? Because pagan people are already wild. Oh yes, pagan people are wild. If you go to India, you can see how wild they look, don't they? Yes, it's the woman, you keep laughing. You know, I cannot understand, because you know, in paganism, everything is in darkness. You go to a temple, you know, and they have all these lights everywhere, candles everywhere, flowers everywhere, to brighten the whole temple. The Chinese temple, the Indian temple, they're all the same. You know? And then they will dress up in saffrons or dress up in some, whatever, you know, in red, and they will dance, they cut their tongues and they paint themselves. And I mean, they look wow. They look wow to me. It looks like they're coming from Papua New Guinea or something, those carnivals. And then you think about it. You think about how terrible it is. Look at Cain. He was a wild man. Look at Esau. When he laughed, he was a wild man, you know. Of course, he wasn't as bad. You know, he came back anyway. He was part of the family of Abraham. Look at Ishmael. Wild man. You see. Of course, today what we see in Islam, the wild character that is in Ishmael getting to some people through the religion. Like it or not, the Quran itself says the truth. What it's supposed to do, jihad. Only in decency of people who not wonder, I think. You see. Hey, don't think about talking about somebody else, God, somebody else's religion. Our religion is just as bad. Look at our God in the past. Our God is one who kills too. When he said, thou shalt not kill. Isn't that right? You must understand why he did that. That's the reason why sometimes people say, hey, your God, your Christian God, he kills you, you know. I say, yeah, I know. But I never really know when I was young why he did that. When you grow up a little later on, you know about serpentry. Then you understand why. Why? Why did Joseph, why was Joseph told when he got into that land, kill all the women, the man, the child, the babies? How horrible that can it be? What an order, you know? A God. But you know, serpent seed, that nature of that serpent time again, these Canaanites. Remember, Canaanites were the descendant of Canaan, who was a bastard child of incestuous act between Noah's wife and him. That produces Canaan. You see that serpent nature there? The mother was a serpent seed, Ham has a strong gene that bear the serpentine nature in his blood, about the three sons of Noah. Why? You see. Now, but we need to understand. We don't go around killing innocent people just like that, so to speak, you know, in those days. But sometimes it's hard to swallow these things. When we look into the face of the literature or the Bible, just read it and say, oh, this is terrible. But we need to understand the work of God. And God comes back, when Jesus Christ comes back, there will still be wars. He will still fight. Think about it now. When he comes back with the saints in the battle of Armageddon, there will still be fight, there will be war. Millions will die. God is going to wipe out wickedness once and for all. But the baby, he's so innocent, he wasn't even born yet. Oh yeah, Hitler, I always say Hitler is very nice. You know, Hitler, when he was a little boy, blue-eyed boy, running around, oh, mama, daddy, mommy, chasing after, grandfather chasing after the boy. Oh, see little baby, oh, so cute, so cute. When you all carry a little boy, huh? Yes, Joseph, you carry a little one? You know, huh, John, when I carry this one here, oh, so sweet. Don't let them throw that, right? You carry a child, I was so sweet. Hey, God knows those guys. God knows the genes. If you can go back in time, if any Jews can take a time travel going backward, if that is true, huh? History or story come to pass, go back to the future. I mean back to the past, sorry. Go back to the past. And you know those Jews say, why? 6 million Jews were killed by Adolf Hitler and Eichmann. Right? I go back to the past. Only the baby, mother give birth, the child go into the operation room, pop, shoot the baby dead. You would say, well, I've done that, wouldn't it? So there would not be 6 million Jews die. But the thing we do not know, only God knows. Why did he order those things? Now you look back, why did he order the killing of the Canaanites? Because God, those are the genes that are wicked people. And there are still wicked people in the world today because the Bible says the wickedness are increased. Is that alright? Think about it. Wickedness still on an increased. Sin and wickedness go hand in hand. And God is going to wipe those things out and bring peace and righteousness on this earth for the people that love God. That's what the Bible talks about. Love conquers all things. Love. Only of course in this generation, after the gospel is given, God did not go around saying, go to kill anybody that looks wicked, kill them. You know, the Bible didn't say that, huh? Your neighbor may be a very, you know, may not be good to you, may damage your car, you know what I mean? You go down there, step in the face. No, the Bible says when somebody sucks you, give them the other cheek. Love your enemies! Love your neighbor! Oh my, how do you love the neighbor when he damaged your car? When he comes and spares something on your door? You see, this is a different projection now. Because here is where grace takes over after the law. Law is different. When you have the law, it's an eye for an eye. Is that right? Sure. Huh? It's not an eye for an eye today. If you will have eye for an eye today, everybody will be blind in the whole world. There will be nobody else to see. How true that is. God changes, huh, in a way. Ephesians 2 now, and we'll close with this verse first. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Downwards. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not only yourself. It is the gift of God, not a work lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. Now remember this, because we cannot finish this day. There is one thing about the circumcision and the uncircumcision. We are the uncircumcised. The circumcised are the Jews. Okay? We're talking about in the flesh. Because I'm a Jew now, because I'm circumcised in my heart. But that is a spiritual circumcision. Okay. But at that time you were without Christ, being aliens. I like this word aliens. We're not from outer space, but we're all alien from the commonwealth of Israel. See, we're not part of Israel. And are strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, Israel at that time, when God gave them the gospel, they have a God. They have the revelation of one true God. Whereas the Gentiles, the barbarians, the Greeks, and all these other, they're wandering in their own world without knowing who God is, and they worship all kinds of idols and all kinds of sun god, the moon god, the Kowon god, the water dragon god. I mean, there's so many different kind of gods. You know, the Apollos and Zeus, and back in those days. They even had a woman who's called Diana, I believe it was called Diana, a woman who's supposed, a goddess who's supposed to be, have a lot of breasts, supposed to be very fertile. So if any woman cannot give birth, go and pray to her. You know, and that's what they believe. You see. And then of course they conduct orgies in the temples. That's what they have, a temple prostitute in those days. Terrible. Because they're aliens to the truth of God, because they're not part of the commonwealth of Israel. Now if God didn't blind Israel back then, we all still will not know this gospel. I can tell you that, because you know the gospel wouldn't come this way to us. We would still be worshipping I don't know what. Isn't it? Alright, let's continue on that. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now there is, I don't know how come people can believe that about the true gospel. Now this thing has been spreading and now it's going on the internet. Now we know the brothers that were here before and I always disagree and says when you preach this thing it's going to cause some confusion. But to him it's a great revelation. Peter took the gospel to the Jew. After all, there was no Paul at that time, wasn't it? What's that? Paul wasn't around, isn't it? He was a Pharisee and a Pharisee, and he was just going after the the one who follows the way and get them all and put them in prison and be judged, isn't it? So Peter, of course, was the big boss, the big fisherman. The chiefest of all the chief apostles. All the doctrine about the chief apostle. You know, he was a big man. He spoiled their Pentecost. And most of the other apostles preached the Jew. They all preached the Jew, learned the gospel, but didn't even go to the Gentile at all. But you know, when Paul began to take those believers and put them in prison and arrest them and all these things, God, Christ met him on the way to Damascus. Blind his eye because of the light. He looked out, whoa! Who's that Lord? And you know, who's that? His eye was blinded by that brightness. And then, now God, Christ took him and showed him the truth. Then he became an apostle. When he became an apostle, you know, right, he wasn't immediately straight away as an apostle. He was just a prophet according to the Bible in chapter 13. He was a prophet and the teacher of the word at that time. You just go on, you know, with a group and so forth and teaching and so forth and prophesying and so forth. And then, when the Gentile came to the gospel, The Jew doesn't know what to do. Why? Because they were still holding on to the law. Now let me say this. If you have been a Jew for so long and you follow your custom, whether it's a religious custom or not, somehow you will still follow. There are even people today who are not Jew, whose family has always have their male child circumcised. They always do it. Huh? You know that, don't you? Have you heard of it? Yes. They're not Jew, but because they know that to them, circumcision is cleanliness, so forth and so forth. So they just circumcise. Every child, the male child are born, so just pass on as a traditional act. But you know, Peter have a problem. All those Jews of the Jewish, they have a problem too. They cannot seem to break away from those laws. You see. That's why now the Bible tells me, how can a man preach two gospels? One to the Jew and one to the Gentile, as if they are two different gospels. They were not two different gospels. Not at all. We'll see that later. Let's continue and finish up this. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. One body by the cross, is that right? One new man, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through him, through Christ, we have both the Gentile and the Jew have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Who is Paul? Who was Paul speaking to? The Ephesians. They are Gentiles. The whole lot of Gentiles there. Okay? There are probably a few Jews there, and they are also Gentiles who were proselyted by the Jews or converted to the faith. They were a mixed group, but they are all Christian. But mainly they are all Gentiles. And Paul said, we are no more stranger and foreigner, but fellow citizens of the saints of the household of God. How many households of God is there? Only just one. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom are all the building fitly framed together, grow unto the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. I, for this cause, I pour the prison of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of this dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, would how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Now this is a mystery. The same mystery that Paul is talking about back in the book of Romans. The mystery. By revelation he made known unto me this mystery, which I wrote to you a few words, the few words above. You understand the grafting in of the Gentiles to the household of God? You understand? Whereby when you read this, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, now in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, unto anybody else, and it is now made known unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, now this is the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am last and the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities, the powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. You see that? This mystery is the grafting in of the Gentiles. The wild olive branches into the natural olive tree. Paul said God has broken the wall of partition, so that now we are, who were once alien from the commonwealth of Israel, can now become fellow citizens, huh? and part of the whole household of God. God has broken down the partition all the days to say graft in the Gentile. This is the mystery that we'll prophesy of and talk about in the Old Testament. And yet nobody understood it. Yeah, we prophesied that even by Isaiah. How that the Gentile will come to the light of the gospel that the Israelite bears. So there is but only one household of God, only one gospel. There is not two. And I pray that you all know this. We'll continue with this next week and pick it up and go to the book of Revelation and see how some people could twist the word of God there to bring about what we have in the same time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy grace. We thank you for your word. Blessed be thy holy name. We thank you, Father, truly that we as a people are people not your people, but that which was foreordained before the foundation of the world, how that the root of Jesse, how that natural olive will come out from the people called Israel. And we being pagans, Lord, we being Gentiles, we are alien truly to that commonwealth. But you break down the wall of partition by the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross for us, Lord. And by that tree at Calvary, Lord, you have grafted us into the natural olive tree. And we thank you, Lord. Help us therefore, Father, to be humble and walk in this light that you have granted us. And to pray for Israel, even to know that, Lord, they will come to the light one day when the gospel will be returned back to them. And there will be a glorious nation when, Lord, you come and sit in your temple and rule the whole earth. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us and for this grace of eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Heavenly Father, we bless thy name. We thank you for all things now in Jesus' name. Amen.